Today's program is brought to you by Fire Cider, a health tonic based on the traditional New England cure-all of raw apple cider vinegar and honey. For more information, visit firecider.com.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Is Super Crown on your site already?
Yeah.
How does an independent coffee shop battle the Starbucks giant? Find out on this episode of Tech Bites. Hello, hello, Heritage Radio Network listeners. It is June 20th, 2016, in case you're listening in the future. This is episode 65 of Tech Bites, the weekly Heritage Radio show, where we talk about the intersection of food and technology. And today that intersection is a little app called Crema, which is around for us simply because coffee is important. So we're going to get into that a little bit later, but we're going to start off the episode like we always do, like a good meal, talking about an app. We go around the room, everybody talks about an app that they like, an old favorite, a new one they just discovered. The only rule is you're not allowed to talk about an app that you own or work on.
Okay.
Because we'll get into your app later.
Okay.
Up first, standing in for David, our usual engineer, back in the booth at Mission Control, we have Pierre, who's the newest addition to our engineering squad. Pierre, how are you?
How's it going?
It's going good. How are you doing?
Good. This is my first time speaking into the microphone here, actually.
Well, we have 100% participation on this show for the app segment.
I've been warned by David.
Excellent. So that means you've been warned. That means you're ready with an app for us.
I am. Yeah, I am. Should I tell you about it?
Absolutely.
Cool. Actually, so, you know, it's really weird on my iPhone, and I'm assuming you have the same issue. It seems like one of those features that should have been available from the start, but you can't set the radio to wake you up.
Yeah, there's a lot of issues with the alarm thing in the iPhone.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, well, I downloaded this Minnesota Public Radio one recently. I think, you know, just yesterday or 2 days ago. And sure enough, it has a little alarm clock, you know, feature. But I've tried it. I've tested it this morning and then yesterday morning, and neither times has it really worked. So I'm not sure what the deal there is.
Well, if you're looking for a really fun, cool wake-up app, the Japanese clothing store Uniqlo has a bunch of different lifestyle apps. And one of them is a wake-up alarm clock app. And the thing that's amazing about it is it wakes you up with music and a woman's voice that says, you know, it's time to wake up. And she kind of sings a little bit. It's 7:30. And then she'll tell you what the weather is. She'll say, today is a sunny day.
Huh.
It's fascinating. Yeah, cool. Yeah, it's pretty good.
In my case, nice. She goes, it's 10:30.
Okay.
Wake up.
There you go.
7:30 is a bit early for me.
All right. Well, whatever time. Yeah. Whatever time. It's a really good one, though. It's one of the first apps we did on the show way back when.
Cool. I'll check it out.
So also in the booth today, we have the CEO and founder of the Crema app, Ellis.
Elias. Yeah. Nice to meet you. So I'm really happy to be here today. So I came from Montreal. We're based in Montreal.
But we're talking about apps.
Yeah. So you want me to tell you like my favorite app.
Your favorite app right now that's not your app.
I will be more... So there is two, but like I will tell you Operator. You know it, I think.
No.
Okay. Operator is an app from one of the founder of Uber.
Okay.
And basically it's an assistant concierge that finds like, okay, you're looking for a gift for your girlfriend. So you tell them her taste, and they found you like the best gift, and you tell your budget and they will find it,
and then
it's crazy, and then they ship it to your address and it's all set.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
that's good.
And the interface, the UX, because I'm partly a UX designer, I love it because it's so simple. It's like a text messaging app, so it's working great and I love it. So this is my favorite app so far right now.
Okay.
With Spotify, of course, but everybody loves Spotify, right?
Well, you know what? You'd be surprised.
Yeah.
I think we've only had people call out Spotify maybe once or twice.
Oh, okay.
Yeah? Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's my favorite app so far.
Okay, Operator and Spotify.
Yeah.
Sitting next to him is Rob Hirschenfeld, who is an independent coffee shop owner, amongst other things. He's very embedded in the coffee world. Rob, do you have an app that you like, that you use?
Well, unfortunately, I'm not a big app person, but I do try every weather app.
on
the
okay.
face of the planet.
Yep.
And at the moment, I am sampling Dark Sky.
Yes.
And Dark Sky seems to be not a bad weather app. And I also surf, and so I sample every surf app known to mankind, and they're all pretty junky. So come on, dudes. Get on it.
So the weather apps you're looking for, if you're a surfer, you're looking for the high tide, the low tide. You're
wind.
Looking for those kinds of things, and wind.
You're looking for wind.
Are there any apps that are built for sailing and more nautical that might have the same information? And I suggest that because my little-known fact, and he's one of my ardent listeners, is my father. I'm actually born and raised in Hawaii, and he was a voracious surfer. And to this day, still tracks the surfing reports in Hawaii and has also a sailor now and has sort of cross-mogenated some of the nautical sailing reports for tides and things like that as a
Hawaii,
precursor.
Hawaii is the place to be for the weather. Pacific Coast also. I'm really speaking mostly about the pitiful East Coast surf and the confluence and convergence that you need of weather factors to even get anything that's remotely considered decent. And so it's a little bit tricky.
So Dark Sky has been an app that people have talked about on this show quite a bit. People really like it, and they feel that it's worth the price point, which is a couple bucks, because most of the weather apps are free. But it's, if you're using it for surf, though, it targets where you are by your phone's GPS and gives you a super micro weather report based on exactly where you are, but you're not where the surf is.
Well, you sort of run around, and it does give you predictive. So if you're in Rockaway, it'll give you predictive for later in the day how it's looking there, because you sort of move around chasing surf when it's really pitiful, as I said, on the East Coast.
Chasing surf. I think people who love to surf chase surf anyway.
Yes.
I think chasing surf just means different things.
Yeah, I think people who love to surf love to chase in general. I think that's really it.
Very interesting. Okay. So my app today is something that's very simple, but I never really used it until recently. It's the news app that comes preloaded in your iPhone.
Yeah.
And typically I get my news from my Twitter feed and Instagram, generally. Twitter and Instagram are very good for trends, especially in the food world. If you're following sort of the editors and the writers, you can see what's opening and closing and what people are really interested in. But the great thing about the Apple News app is you can select the news sources that you like. It populates a feed with those news sources, and then based on what you click on and like and read, it'll start to maybe suggest things for you. So I'm interested in what's happening in the news right now, because obviously there's a lot going on, but I have a sort of don't want to be completely immersed in it all the time, and I find that the Apple News feed is very good, kind of like in and out. State of affairs, state of the union, can get the top line. And then you can also juxtapose Vanity Fair with CNN, with Huffington Post, with, you know, cycling news or surf report or whatever. And you can sort of create a customized news feed. So I really like that. And it's very helpful right now. So Get Crema, the app. The first thing I'm going to say, because we like to be extremely transparent on this show, I interviewed on episode 25 a man by the name of Shen Tong, who is the founder of an accelerator in New York City called FoodX. And FoodX is an accelerator for food tech businesses. So he came on the show and I got to meet him, and we talked about the food tech space and accelerators and why you would do that. And as a result of that, we did another episode, episode 35, called Life Inside the Accelerator. And we had on some of the companies that were being accelerated, which is also very interesting. And I wound up becoming a mentor and advisor for the FoodX Accelerator, which has also been an interesting experience. So what I've been doing as mentor and advisor to the different groups of companies that come through is, part of being a startup is you have to have a presentation to stand up and to give people. You make your presentation in hopes that they will give you money, because a big part of being a startup is you have to raise funds. So part of my job was to come in and help people with that, but also help them with media training, because in order to get money, you need to have popularity and traction and press. So interview skills and media skills are very important. And one of the most important things that I found across the board and this is just a general tip for people in life. The most important thing is to listen to what the interviewer is saying and answer the question. You'd be surprised how many people, especially in the startup world, automatically go into their speech about their company without actually listening to the question. So that's sort of like the big thing. And what I advise people to do, it's very, very simple, and it's a classic piece of interview technique, is when someone asks you a question, repeating the question as the first part of your answer is always very good. What's an app that I like right now? An app I like right now is fill in the blank. So that is how I came to get to know GetCrema. He was a part of the first cohort that I went in and helped with their media training. And it was also one of the more interesting companies that was in that group, because I think the logic behind it and the idea behind it is very interesting. So in a nutshell, you want to help small coffee shops take on Starbucks.
Exactly. So I want to help small coffee shops. Basically, what we always say is like we are the Starbucks app for indie coffee shops. So we give them like the right tools to compete against big franchises and get them on the map, and that so that people discover them much, much easier. To tell you a little bit about my background, so I am from Montreal. I created the startup 1 year ago. And we've been into FoodX in September, so we've spent 3 months in New York. And New York and Montreal markets are so different in terms of coffee scene. New York, it's 10 times bigger than Montreal in terms of coffee scene. We have around like 900 indie coffee shops in New York and Brooklyn. In Montreal, you have around 120. So there is a big difference here. We just launched actually Crema here in New York last week. And we are available in 6 different cities. So New York, Toronto, San Francisco, Montreal, Paris, and Berlin. That's about it. To tell a little bit about the app. So you download the app, you can credit your account with 10, 20, or 50 bucks, and then you can use it in the whole network.
So when you say you, you're talking about the
customer.
The customer.
Yeah.
So but before we talk about the customer, why do you care if independent coffee shops can be competitive against Starbucks?
Why I care? Because I think they take so much like passion into what they're building and what they're doing with their business that they deserve something to they really deserve the right tools to compete against them. Like, and they don't have like the budget to create an app that basically we invested around $100,000 to do an app that works like this, and it costs a lot of money to build an app. And indie coffee shops are not usually like developers or designers. They're just like really passionate about what they're building. So we decided to help them with something that they really need, and give them basically these tools to be on the same level as Starbucks or Pete's Coffee or other big franchise like Dunkin' Donuts, for example. But of course, it's not the same level of quality.
So we have Rob here because he is an independent coffee shop owner. And I would ask Rob, do you need this kind of technology to be competitive today? Do you have to have an app to have a successful business?
Well, I think that, we enter different micro regional markets on a regular basis. And right now, for instance, we're opening a place in super saturated Williamsburg.
Exactly.
So the name of your coffee shop?
That we're going to be opening there is Gotan.
And you have two other locations already?
Two other locations in the city in Tribeca and on 46th Street in Midtown.
Okay.
We know we're walking into a potential nightmare for normal operators. We believe that we are not a normal operator, and that given the proper exposure, that we will make converts, and hopefully, what I was most interested in is the incentivized returns to the customer.
Yeah.
How you make first a convert and then you hook them and keep them there.
So how do you do that as a coffee shop owner? You believe you have a better product right out of the gate?
I always strive to have my primary goal is to give people exceptional quality and then perceived value. And so Goten I love because we're doing great coffee and great food at a really good value. And I think that today's world, given the competition, you really need to stress that value. Rewards programs are the best way to increase customer value in that incentivized way, where at the same time you increase your sales. You decrease your margins, but it's very easy to draw the curve on that particular mode. The problem, though, is that if you look in your wallet, you'll never find your rewards card.
Exactly.
You'll always find it on your dining room table after you already bought your coffee.
Exactly.
And then you get a stack of them.
Is that what you do? You do the punch cards in your shops now, or do you have a rewards program? Or
It comes and goes, because the problem with it, everybody understands that it would work if it was readily available on your phone. That's my first question. That I was going to ask as soon as I heard about Crema, and I have not played with the app.
Which is perfect, so that you're coming in with a clean slate, so this is great.
Totally clean. But my first was everybody recognizes that an underutilized incentive is the rewards programs. And to have that on an app and actually make the cafes compete on that platform for the best rewards, It's a win-win for the consumer, and it's a win for very good operators.
So we need to take a quick break because we're at our midway point to find out who our amazing sponsor is. But when we come back, we're going to find out if Crema can help Rob with his rewards program.
Yeah.
Stay tuned.
Today's program was brought to you by Fire Cider. Did your grandmother ever tell you to drink raw apple cider vinegar? It's good advice and more common than you may think. For generations of New Englanders, a tot of vinegar was a morning ritual. Taken daily, a tablespoon of unfiltered apple cider vinegar can help support immune function and digestive functions. To the base of certified organic apple cider vinegar, Fire Cider added whole, raw, certified organic oranges, lemons, onions, ginger, horseradish, habanero pepper, garlic, and turmeric. They let this mixture steep for 6 weeks at room temperature to preserve the living vinegar culture and delicate flavors of the ingredients. Lastly, they blend a generous helping of raw wildflower honey into the mix. The result is potent but balanced, offering layers of sweet, tart, and spice. Fire Cider tastes great on its own or as an addition to tea, juice, or salad. Fire Cider ships direct from their online store and is available at over 500 locations nationwide. Use their store locator to find one near you and ask for a free sample. For more information, visit firesider.com.
If you've just joined us and you're wondering what the hell you clicked on, this is Tech Bites, the weekly show on the Heritage Radio Network, where we talk about the intersection of food and technology. And today that technology is an app called Crema, which is designed to be a digital platform for search, payment, and rewards for independent coffee shops so they can band together and maybe take on some of the giant corporate coffee shops. So today in studio, we have Elias, who is the founder and CEO of Crema, and we have Rob, who is an independent coffee shop owner. Just before the break, Rob was talking about how beneficial it would be if he could have some sort of digital rewards program because the punch cards and all that kind of become less and less effective. So we're going to let Elias make his pitch?
Okay, so basically, in terms of like, we're like an integrated platform, so we take care of the transactional side, so people can pay with the app and also get rewarded inside your shop. And we create a coalition of indie coffee shops. The vision is really to create the biggest coalition of indie coffee shops in the world. We take a 2.9% plus 30 cents per transaction on each coffee sold through the app. If we don't bring you any customer, we don't get paid. You always get the same value. And like for the customers, when they download the app and they put their first money, let's say they put like $20 on the app, they get $2 more offered by Crema so that they can buy their first coffee cheaper. And then like when they, as soon as like they reach $50 that they spent on the app, they get $5 offered so that we keep them in the loop of the app. So the more they use the app, the more they get rewards. Of course, there is also, we're working right now on an invite functionality. So if you invite a friend, you get a free coffee, he gets a free coffee, and he gets into the network of indie coffee shop. We don't work with all the small indie coffee shop. We create them really carefully, and we try to give to really select the best indie coffee shops. And this is like what we're offering to the customers: a really good coffee, an amazing experience, and something that is like Uber. Like you just boom, you give your phone to the cashier. So you download the app, you select the beverage you want. Want to have an espresso, for example? You do click on checkout in the phone. You show your phone to the cashier, who will put a 4-digit code, and that's it. The transaction is validated. You have your receipt with your email in your email, and you have a receipt in your email. And also, we can connect it with your POS system. So if you have Square or any POS system, we can connect it so that it's your accounting is safe and everything is correct. Why we're taking the commission and not like offer a rebate to the customers? Just because we don't want people to feel like they're buying a cheaper coffee and a cheaper product. And we talked a lot with indie coffee shop owner and said, like, I'm selling my cappuccino at $4. I don't want to sell it at $3 in your app because it will feel like it's a cheap product, and it's not. So we said, like, yes, you're right. We take a commission and reward the users in a different way. So the users pay, gets rewarded later on when he spends enough money in the app. That's about it.
I mean, I like that. I was actually going to ask about the compensation and what the pricing looked like in the app.
Yeah.
But as long as the pricing looks exactly like the pricing that we're showing in the store, and that for me, you know, it would just be a matter of penciling in
exactly
a sustainable model for it.
Exactly.
Obviously, you know, coffee has a big margin.
Yeah.
That's no secret.
Yeah.
Running a coffee shop is all about keeping your labor costs under control, strangely enough. And so for me, I'm always looking for a way to decrease the labor. This is a very nominal labor saver in a way. It's certainly not a labor increase for us. And so it seems that, you know, you're saying it's 2.9% plus 30.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, it could be somewhere, could be somewhere 3.5% to,
exactly.
to fire, you know, to, and down actually, 3.5% and down. And it seems perfectly reasonable if it's 20 or maybe 25% of your business.
Yeah.
It's certainly something that we would support. My big question though is on the rating,
and how
you plan to rate places, because I think one of the biggest failures in the coffee industry is Yelp.
Yeah, exactly. So we have different, like, we're working on it right now. So now we didn't want people to be able to review it yet because we selected the coffee shops, but we're gonna introduce it in 3 weeks actually. So people will be able to rate it, and the idea now is really get the journal, like newspapers and journalists.
Why are you gonna let people rate it?
Because like they asked for it a lot, like that's our customers on the app. So you can like ask us requests on the app directly by texting us actually. So it's like the number one request. We want to do it in three weeks, 1 month. because we still think that it's part of the experience to be able to review your experience in the coffee shop and put like a number of stars
Are you concerned at all that that might create a negative point with your potential coffee shop owners?
Yes.
Because
yes,
public criticism is
exactly so
one
that's
of the things that all hospitality and restaurant and business owners struggle against.
That's why we didn't do it in the launch, and that's why.
But you're going to do it in a month.
So what we're thinking is in 2 weeks, actually, we're going to introduce like just coffee experts reviews in the app.
So who are your coffee experts?
So we have it in Montreal. We're starting with like the biggest newspapers experts that we have. We just took them from like different. We have a partnership with a company called Memorable. And what they do is like they just take like the they choose like some newspapers articles about each coffee shop and choose like the best quotes in each article, introduce it in the app. So we're partnering with these guys and we're gonna test it. We're gonna test and see if like there is.
So that's just pulling articles and quotes from that exist.
Yeah.
But when you say coffee experts, are you actually going to be engaging journalists and media people to be doing things, or it's just pulling the quotes from things
pulling
that already
the
exist?
Quotes. Yeah.
Okay.
Pulling the quotes.
Okay.
And then we're gonna open it to users because it's like people are asking for it. So I'm not like this is in our roadmap in 1 month. We want to introduce it. Coffee shop owners are not a fan of this
at all.
At all.
Most.
So
if you listen to this show on a regular basis, you will find out that I have yet to meet a restaurant, hospitality, food business owner who has anything good to say about Yelp.
Yeah, the industry belief, and I mean, actually, it's not a knee jerk, it's not a reaction. It's actually, it's my personal belief that public reviews are by virtue of self-selection, a tainted view of anything. And about as useless a feature as you could have for actually assessing the quality or value of a prospective purchase.
Yeah, yeah.
Because there is a segment of people who use the public forum as a way to get free things, as a way to complain, to get something back, as a way to vent, as a way to just, you know, use it for a number of things that have nothing to do with giving a restaurant or a coffee shop
an honest,
feedback that is helpful to them doing their service. But I would ask Rob just so that he can say, people who own coffee shops and hospitality establishments, they want to know what their customers think. They want to know if you have a bad experience or if your cup of coffee was bad or it was cold or the barista was not nice to you, because they really care. You care if people have a great experience.
100%. I mean, we care to a degree that we probably shouldn't care, to be honest. I think that we're striving to give an experience that 90% of people don't really even appreciate. But the 10% who do appreciate it, those are the ones we're looking to impress.
Okay.
So how do you like, not that you like to get negative feedback, but it happens, right? Stuff happens. What's the best channel for you as a business owner to get feedback from a customer who did not have a great experience?
Oh, for sure. Personal. I like to have on-site managers who have a presence anywhere. Mm. And any place likes to have that. Mm. You like to have a retail manager who's moving around, asking questions and interacting. They get a pretty good sample through the day and can assess the strengths and weaknesses way better than we can looking at Yelp reviews. I haven't read a Yelp review in years.
What do you think if you were like pushing the reviews in a private mode so that only you can see it?
So I was going to suggest there's innumerable articles. There's tons of literature on how to properly get feedback that does not incentivize negatively customers or positively.
Yeah.
That's simply anonymous.
Yeah.
And that they don't get their picture
No.
Put up there. They can only do it in a particular forum that's double blind.
Yeah.
And those, so there are ways that you can make it better. And I would certainly be interested in beta testing and seeing how you could actually get accurate, better reviews, because that only helps you.
Yeah.
Everything else just makes things muddy.
Okay.
So your customer, so the Crema customer wants to be able to give feedback.
Yeah.
Do you think if you provided a private feedback channel, like send your feedback directly to the restaurant, so would that satisfy people?
I think that would satisfy everybody actually. And like that's something that we were like thinking about. Like we were thinking more about like something really like anonymous. And because right now the app is really anonymous. It's in discovery mode. You cannot pay in New York yet, but you will be able to pay with it like in a couple of weeks. We wanted to do like if you like it, just like tell yes I liked it, no I didn't like it, and then it gives an average to you. Only you can see it, and not the the customer actually. So that was the idea, and then people really pushed for like I want to know exactly how it is, blah blah blah. So I said like I'm still like honestly like it's in 4 weeks in our roadmap. About what you're telling me, this is not a good idea. So I'm thinking about like doing it in private mode. That would be more interesting for everybody.
Have you done a survey of your coffee shops to see what they think about it?
Yeah, so I did a survey on 20 coffee shop owners,
and
we had like 15 asking us to not be able to review.
Well, you know what you want to do? You want to bring Malcolm Gladwell in on this.
Malcolm, if you're listening, maybe you want to come on Tech Bites and we can talk about it. So would that be a deal breaker for you, though,
in terms not.
Of no. no. So no. If it had a Yelp-style public review system, would you still consider using it?
It's not going to.
No.
Okay, but it might eventually.
Also, like
we would probably lobby against it. But my feeling is that this is a great idea, and they'll start it. And they'll be adaptive, and there's going to be competition that's going to pop up.
Of course.
And there's such a better way to do reviews than Yelp. Yelp is in business to be Yelp.
Yeah,
of course.
Exactly.
We're not in business to be Yelp, and Crema's not in business to be Yelp. Crema's in business to take part of my profits.
Exactly.
And
help you out also a lot.
Well, my profits are better. Your profits are better.
Exactly.
You're incentivized on the same side as I am.
Yeah.
And as long as we're not, you know, I'm going to just plug it. As long as we're not shysters like Donald Trump, we're actually, you know, we actually want to accomplish something.
I totally agree.
And so if what we want to accomplish is to find out the experience that our customers are having and improve it in that way, then there are many ways that can be done through feedback.
So let me ask a question. And that is, you said earlier that you were going to curate the coffee shops that were going to be on the Crema platform.
Yeah.
And I always kind of raise an eyebrow when I hear the word curate. How do you plan to decide who's good enough to be on it and who's not?
So it's in Montreal, we tried them all. So we have one.
So this is you?
Yeah, me and my team. So we have.
So you and your team. What'd you do in New York?
In New York, we did like we have like two people who tried them. Not all, honestly. They tried some of them, and also we got a lot of newspapers that we try to do like an average, like newspapers articles. We read them, and then like the customers review.
Is that
and then we choose them, and also like how they take care of the products, the quality of the coffee, etc. And we try
how
to do an average.
How can you see that? How they take care of the products?
I mean, like, when you work with, like, you have, like, really parlor coffee is a really good coffee. Like, everybody knows it. We tried it. I tried it. These kind of coffee shops are doing great products and great coffee. So,
is that scalable?
No,
I mean,
is
your curation system scalable? Because if you come out of the gate and you say, we've curated every single coffee shop that's on here, the need for the review system becomes less.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, these are all going to be great coffee shops anyway. And they're theoretically, Crema theoretically is building brand confidence for anything that's in Crema. So it doesn't matter where you are. You pull it out. You can go to any coffee shop. There's going to be a standard.
We can we could do it in Montreal. But in New York, it's too big. It's not scalable.
So already, you say you're curating.
Yeah.
But your curation system is based on a combination of press/public opinion.
Yeah.
private opinion of a couple employees, but you're only hitting 50%, 20% of the coffee shops?
We have 70 coffee shops on the platform in New York, so 10%.
Okay, so then saying that you have a curated selection is kind of viable, not viable, accurate, not accurate?
In Montreal it is, because we are based in Montreal.
I'm in New York. I kind of don't care about Montreal, and kind of either does Rob, because his next business is in Williamsburg.
Yeah, but like...
And the people in Paris probably don't care about Montreal either.
Exactly, but in Paris you don't have so many coffee shops. You have only 20 like that are indie coffee shops.
So going back to the question of you, if you, part of your pitch is... Yeah. To the coffee shop owner as well as the coffee consumer, that your selection is curated, but your curation system is not scalable, then what?
In terms of like...
Because it's already not scalable and you're not even live, really, in New York City.
Yeah, so it's not really scalable, but like we try to do our first selection like this, and we try to select 70 coffee shops like this. So it's a test. Of course, we're starting, so it's really a test, and we're testing. And we also try to have an equal like selection in Manhattan and Brooklyn.
But you're not answering my question.
Yeah, because I don't have a real answer, because we're just starting out in New York,
okay.
Right?
Fair enough. So then that's your answer.
Huh?
That's sort of the answer.
Yeah, that's sort of the answer. Okay. Just we had to do a choice, and we choose to do this system. Of course, it will be improved later on, and we will try to do something more better for sure. But for now, we're just starting out with only 5 employees and trying to pull like this.
You might want to be careful about the promise you make about the selection that you're offering. If you can't actually curate everything right now, you might want to save that as a selling point until you actually can.
Well,
because my question is always like, oh, curated. So who's based on whose opinion?
I would drop the curated. I like the pitch where you simply say, we're going head to head with Starbucks. We want to give a bunch of independent coffee professionals who think they've got a great product the opportunity. And you want to call us up and say, you want to join?
Yeah.
We'll come and try you out. If we rate you, satisfactory in the context of the other guys, sure, you join the app. That's cool. But otherwise, you just want to say, we went around by neighborhoods.
Yeah.
We found a good selection within walking distance that's not going to step on each other's toes, that's going to service you wherever you are.
Oh, that's an interesting point. And are you sure about that? Let's ask him.
No, I'm not. I'm not sure about it.
We try to not put coffee shops really close to each other, especially in New York, because like the density is crazy. But we try to do this. So we try.
But
to
in New York City, it's also which side of the block you're on, because New Yorkers don't like to cross the street or go out of their trajectory. Yeah. And if it's like on 6th Avenue or on 16th Street or on those things come into play.
Exactly. So we try to do this and like to be like fair and have like to cover like the most interesting neighborhoods that we think that can be useful for users. So that was the first time. Like when we launched in New York, we wanted to do something like Manhattan, Brooklyn, good coffee shops, 70 only, like just first selection, and then we're gonna add more coffee shops.
So theoretically, you need to send a Crema salesperson, account person physically into each shop. So that's the moment of discovery.
Yeah, exactly. So we know that we need to send like salespeople to meet with coffee shop owners. I don't believe in like calling people or cold emailing people. I hate that. You hate that, I'm sure. No. So we're trying to send people directly and talk with the coffee shop owners.
Great, because that's the way the coffee industry works.
Yeah.
You have a coffee shop, you get independent coffee roasters coming all the time to try to sell you a product.
Yeah.
And you try it out. We're trying coffees all the time.
Yeah.
So if I can ask Rob, just out of curiosity, what is it appealing to you to have this system integrate into your POS?
Oh, for me, I would definitely try it. But I like to try everything.
Okay.
And then I run it, and then I just make my little, Excel spreadsheets and curves.
Yeah.
And I just let the numbers speak for themselves.
Right now in your shops, Can you use different types of electronic payment? Do you take Apple Pay and all that kind of business?
No? Some yes, some no. Okay. I'm involved in a bunch of different cafes. I like to have very flexible payment systems. Yeah. It's the future.
Yeah.
And
the future is now.
Exactly. That's what I mean. It's the future. Now is the future. Right now. Again, it's the future.
Do you think that, just out of curiosity, in terms of the people who come into your shops, people paying in cash, are they swiping? Are they electronic? Is it pretty much even? Is there a trend?
Oh, the trend is you know, if you accept electronic and credit, the more you accept, the less cash you see.
Yeah.
And I'm perfectly happy because I'm not a mom and pop. We're the next tier up from mom and pop, and we actually require transparent accounting.
Yeah.
And so I'd much rather forgo profits for ease of accounting.
Yeah.
Completely unrelated to the Crema app, but sort of, does electronic payment affect the tip jar for you, for your employees?
Electronic payment actually...
Or does it increase it because people can program in like 20% tip on the top?
It totally depends on your pricing. There are shops that are very smart about pricing, and they love to price. If they can run well and they're a roaster and operator and they price their cappuccinos at $3.25, they're guaranteeing a 75-cent tip on a $3.25 purchase every single time that there's a cash transaction.
Yeah.
So the answer is not simple. Again, it depends on how sophisticated you are and how deep you're looking to go.
We offer the tipping system inside.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
Because people are getting more and more used to that. And is that something that a coffee purchaser customer would set up in their profile,
so
like the tip percentage, so it's just automatic.
You can do it automatically, so put 10-20%, or you can just select the like $1.75 or whatever you want to put. So you have both of the options.
That's great, and just makes it easy.
Yeah, it makes it easy, and actually, coffee shop owners and especially baristas asked for it. So they like, because we launched a beta one in November and we didn't have the tipping system inside it. So that was the first, like, they really asked for it. So we decided to implement it like right away, right now. So yeah, it's inside it.
That's great. It's so fun that they're at the interactive development stage,
yeah.
The Crema app, where you're, you know, listening to people and talking to people, and you have it's the moment to be, you know, adding and building and subtracting. And
exactly.
I think that's exciting. I think
yes,
that's fun.
We are. It's really fun. It's especially really fun to work in this space. Like, it's so fun. First to discover, every coffee shop is so different. Everybody's managing their coffee shop in a different way. There is a lot of people that are like really like about margins. A lot of are really about like passion. It's really, really great to work in this space. I love it. I really love it. I come from a finance background at first, and I decided to drop it. I was working for a bank. So I said, okay, I'm going to build my own company, and I love coffee, so it was perfect for me.
That's
and
great.
Transactional and coffee.
There you go.
It was good.
So we are actually out of time. And at the end of each show, I always like to ask my guests for a little piece of advice for the folks listening at home or on the subway or wherever you are, where you're listening. So, Elias, I'm going to ask you, since you're in the startup world, what's your best piece of advice on how to cold call somebody?
Cold calling, it's really about not selling your product at first and try to understand who you are talking to. It's really like my best advice. I always try to understand who am I talking to, who you are, what is your background, and then if I found like the needs, I can plug my product. If I don't find the needs, well, I will stay like really general about what I'm selling. But like, I'm always trying to understand who I'm talking to, basically. This is my best advice.
That's great advice. Really good. And Rob, because you are really deeply embedded in the coffee business, what's your best piece of advice to people for making a good cup of coffee at home?
invest in your grinder.
Yeah.
Okay.
And apparently, according to the New York Times this week, freeze your beans.
Is that true?
And if you've got liquid nitrogen, better. Apparently, the colder your beans, the more regular your grind is.
Because it doesn't heat up and it doesn't lose the essential oils.
Yeah. It's actually, chemically, it's because you crystallize everything. It's just sort of like shattering.
Right.
The colder it is, the more regular the beans shatter. And it's all about your regular grind. You set your grind. If you can get every ground to be the same size, you will have the most uniform flavor. I'm not exactly sure that's the best, but...
What type of grinder is the best? And I don't mean brand. I mean, like, what type of grinder?
You want a conical burr grinder.
Ceramic?
In your house. Yeah, ceramic's fine. You're never going to get the results that Illy gets.
Yeah.
Of course.
But generally speaking, if you spend $100 on a burr grinder ceramic... you will up your coffee game and your morning experience immeasurably.
Okay. These are all very doable things. We like doable things. I want to thank Alice and Rob for coming into the container today and having a conversation. It's great to hear both sides of the tech story, the company startup, and then the person they're trying to sell their startup to.
Yeah.
We don't always hear that piece, but it's really interesting. I want to thank all the listeners. I want to thank our sponsors. You know, we have sponsors because Heritage Radio is a 501c3 charity. We're a nonprofit, and that means we make radio with the help of our listeners and sponsors. And if you really like this show, visit heritageradionetwork.org, click the beating heart, and throw us what you spent on a cup of coffee today. Maybe that was like $3.75. We'll make more radio. I'm Jennifer Liuzzi, and this is Tech Bytes.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes Store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening.